Okay, so life insurance. It's one of those things that a lot of people know they probably should think about, but then just kind of go, it's too complicated. I don't even know where to start.
I totally get it. It can seem like a maze of policies and terms and fine print.
Exactly. And that's why we're doing this deep dive today. We're going to really try to break down some of those barriers and look at some of the core ideas behind life insurance. We'll be drawing on Life Chapter 4, Types of Life Insurance.pdf for some of the nitty-gritty details.
Right, so we'll give you the essentials on term versus permanent insurance, and we'll even touch on some more specialized policies that you might not be aware of.
Before we dive into the specific types of policies, though,
Right.
let's just define a couple of key terms that you're going to hear over and over again, just to make sure everyone's on the same page. So, when we talk about the death benefit,
Right.
what exactly does that mean?
Well, think of the death benefit as the amount of money that your beneficiaries, typically your loved ones, would receive if you were to pass away. It's meant to provide them with financial security and support during a really difficult time.
Okay, so it's like a safety net to protect your family's future.
Exactly.
And then the other term you'll hear a lot is premium.
Yes.
What's that all about?
Basically, the premium is the cost of that coverage. It's what you pay, usually on a monthly or annual basis, to keep the policy in force.
Got it. So you're essentially paying for the peace of mind of knowing that your loved ones will be taken care of. Now, with those basic out of the way, let's jump into our first type of life insurance, term life insurance.
Okay.
Now, this one is often considered the simplest form of life insurance. It's kind of like renting an apartment, but for your life insurance needs. You get coverage for a set period. It could be 10, 20, or 30 years.
Right. And that fixed period, it's called the term. And because it's temporary coverage, the premiums tend to be lower, especially when you're younger compared to permanent life insurance.
Makes sense. You're paying for coverage over a limited time frame. So it's like renting an apartment. You get the coverage you need for as long as you need it. But just like rent can go up over time, I'm guessing the premiums for term life insurance can also increase.
That's right, especially if you choose to renew for another term once your initial term expires. You're older then, so the risk for the insurance company is higher.
Okay, so a good option for covering those short-term needs, or if you're working with a tight budget. Now, here's where it gets interesting. There are actually different flavors of term life insurance.
Oh, absolutely. You got level term, decreasing term, increasing term, and even return of premium term.
Wow, so many options. Can we break down a couple of those? For example, what's the difference between level term and decreasing term?
Sure. So, level term is pretty straightforward. Your death benefit, the amount your beneficiaries would receive, stays the same throughout the entire term you choose, and so does your premium. It's fixed.
Okay, so it's predictable and easy to understand. What about decreasing term?
Well, decreasing term is often tied to a specific debt, like a mortgage, for example. So as you pay down your mortgage, the death benefit decreases accordingly.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's like the coverage shrinks as your financial obligation shrinks.
Exactly. It's designed to ensure that your family can pay off that debt, even if you're not there anymore.
Very practical. And then we have increasing term.
Yeah, with increasing term, the death benefit actually grows over time. This could be a good option if you're worried about inflation or if you anticipate that your family's financial needs might increase down the road.
So it's like a hedge against rising costs. And what about this return of premium term? That sounds intriguing.
It is. Basically, if you outlive your policy term, say you have a 20-year term, and you're still healthy and kicking after those 20 years, you get all or a portion of the premiums you paid back.
Wow. So it's kind of like a refund for not using the insurance.
You could think of it that way. It can be a good option for some people who like the idea of potentially getting some of their money back.
Okay, that's a really interesting twist on term life insurance. Now, two more terms that often pop up when we're talking about term life are renewability and convertibility.
Right.
What do those mean exactly?
Okay, so renewability means you have the option to extend your term coverage even if your health has changed since you first got the policy. You don't have to go through another medical exam.
So it's like an automatic extension?
It is, but usually at a higher premium because, again, you're older and the risk for the insurance company is higher.
Okay, so there's a trade-off there. You get the convenience of not having to requalify medically, but it might cost you a bit more. What about convertibility?
Convertibility lets you convert your term policy into a permanent policy, like whole life, without having to go through medical underwriting again.
So if your health takes a turn for the worse, you're still protected.
Exactly. And often you have the option to base your new premium on either your current age or your age when you originally bought the term policy.
So it gives you some flexibility and helps protect you from those unexpected life events.
That's great. All right, so we've covered the basics of term life insurance. Now let's move on to the big one, whole life insurance.
All right.
Now, this one's often called the forever type of coverage, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. As long as you pay your premiums, you're covered for your entire life.
So it's like owning a home instead of renting.
Exactly. And one of the key features of whole life is that it has a level premium. That means you'll pay the same premium amount every year, regardless of how old you get.
So even if your health deteriorates or you develop a medical condition, your premium won't go up.
Exactly. And that can be really valuable as you get older and maybe your income is more fixed.
Makes sense. You're not hit with those huge premium increases when you might be least able to afford them. Now, another term that always comes up with whole life insurance is cash value. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, cash value is like a savings component that's built into the policy. It grows over time at a guaranteed interest rate. So it's kind of like a piggy bank that's growing alongside your life insurance coverage.
A good way to think about it. And here's the cool part, you can actually borrow against your cash value if you need to.
Wow, so it's like having a little emergency fund built right into your life insurance.
Exactly. It can provide some financial flexibility when you need it most. And remember, we talked about the death benefit. Well, with whole life insurance, the death benefit actually has two parts: the cash value you've accumulated and the insurance protection amount.
So as your cash value grows, the amount the insurance company has to pay out decreases.
Right, you're basically self-funding a portion of the death benefit.
That's pretty clever. Now, there's one more thing about whole life insurance that I find really interesting. These policies have a maturity date, usually around age 100 or 120. What happens if you actually live that long?
Well, if you live to that ripe old age, the policy endows, which means you receive the cash value.
Wait, so you get a payout just for living a long life? That's amazing.
It is. It's just one of the things that sets whole life insurance apart.
Okay, so we've covered the basic idea of whole life. But are there different types of whole life policies out there? I mean, it seems like there are always variations when it comes to insurance.
You're absolutely right. There are a bunch of different types of whole life policies: continuous premium, limited payment, single premium, modified premium, graded premium, indeterminate premium, and interest sensitive.
Whoa, that's a mouthful. Can we break down at least a couple of those? Like, what's the difference between continuous premium and limited payment whole life?
Sure. Continuous premium is pretty much what it sounds like. You pay the same premium every year for as long as you have the policy.
Okay, so it's simple and predictable.
Exactly. But limited payment whole life compresses the payment period. You might pay premiums for, say, 10 or 20 years or until you reach a certain age, but you're covered for your entire life.
So you're basically front-loading the payments and then you're done.
That's the idea. It can be a good option for people who want to know that their life insurance is completely paid up by a certain point in their life.
Makes sense. And what about single premium whole life? Is that literally just one giant payment up front?
Yep, one lump sum and you're covered for life. This option is often popular with folks who have a large sum of money they want to use to maximize their cash value growth.
So it's kind of like an investment with the added benefit of life insurance coverage. Interesting. Now, what about these modified and graded premium policies?
Well, modified and graded premium policies are designed to make whole life more affordable, especially in the early years. They start with lower premiums that gradually increase over the first few years before leveling off.
So it's like easing into the full premium amount.
Right. It can be a good option for someone who anticipates their income increasing over time.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, what about indeterminate premium and interest-sensitive whole life? Those sound a little more, well, complex.
Yeah, they do require a bit more understanding. Indeterminate premium means the insurance company can adjust your premiums based on their performance, so there's a bit more variability there. And interest-sensitive policies tie the cash value growth to market conditions. So your cash value has the potential to grow at a faster rate than with traditional whole life, but there's also more risk involved.
Okay, so those options offer more potential upside, but with a bit more complexity and less predictability. Now, before we move on to the next type of life insurance, I think it's really important to emphasize that if you're considering any of these more intricate options, it's crucial to talk to a qualified financial advisor.
Oh, absolutely. They can help you navigate the nuances and make sure you're making the best decision for your specific situation.
Great point. All right, I think we've covered a lot of ground on whole life insurance. Are you ready to dive into some more interesting types of policies?
Let's do it. There's still plenty more to explore.
All right, so we've explored term life and whole life. Those seem like pretty solid options, but what if you're someone who, you know, likes to keep your options open? Life can be unpredictable, right?
Right, and that's where these flexible policies can be really helpful. They're designed to adapt to your changing needs over time.
Oh, okay. So instead of being locked into a rigid policy, you have the freedom to make adjustments as you go along. I like that. So what are some examples of these flexible policies?
Well, two of the most common types are adjustable life insurance and universal life insurance. With adjustable life, you can actually tweak your death benefit, your premium, and even the coverage duration without having to get a whole new policy.
That's pretty cool. So if, let's say, your financial situation changes or your needs evolve, you can adapt your policy to fit those changes.
Exactly. And then you've got universal life, or UL as it's often called. This one takes that flexibility even further.
Oh, okay. How so?
Well, with UL, you have more control over your premiums and the coverage amount, and your premiums actually build cash value like whole life insurance. They take out monthly deductions for the cost of insurance, but you have more say in how the policy works for you.
So it's like having a more customizable life insurance plan. It's tailored to your individual circumstances. That's interesting. And are there any other variations within this category of flexible policies?
Yeah, there's one more that's worth mentioning, equity indexed universal life. This one's a little bit more intricate, but essentially it links your cash value growth to a stock market index, like say the S&P 500.
Oh, interesting. So your cash value has the potential to grow more aggressively than with traditional whole life.
Yeah.
But that also sounds like it could be risky, right? What happens if the market takes a downturn?
Yeah, you're right. There's definitely more risk involved. But to help mitigate that risk, most equity index UL policies have a minimum guaranteed rate. So even if the market dips, you're protected from those big losses.
So it's like having the potential for higher returns with a bit of a safety net.
I like that. Now, you mentioned earlier that there are also these variable policies. How do those differ from the flexible policies we've just been talking about?
Well, variable policies take that whole investment aspect of life insurance a step further. They give you the opportunity to, well, actually invest a portion of your premiums in things like stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. You have the potential to earn higher returns, but of course, there's also more risk.
So it's like having an investment account within your life insurance policy.
Exactly. But unlike traditional policies, where the insurer guarantees a certain rate of return, variable policies are directly tied to the performance of your investments. So if the market does well, your policy can benefit. But if the market goes down, you could see some losses.
So it's that classic trade-off between risk and reward. So these variable policies probably aren't a good fit for someone who is very risk-averse or needs those guaranteed returns. What are the main types of variable policies available? There are two main types, variable life and variable universal life. Both of them allow you to, you know, allocate your premiums among a variety of investment options. It gives you more control over how your policy performs.
Okay, so it's all about aligning your investment strategy with your overall life insurance needs. It's becoming clear that, you know, life insurance really isn't a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. There's so many different options to consider. Before we wrap up, are there any other, like, special types of policies that our listeners should be aware of?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got to talk about these specialized policies. These are designed to address, you know, specific situations and needs.
So it's like the custom tailoring of the life insurance world. What are some examples?
One example is joint life insurance. This type of policy covers two people, usually a married couple. The death benefit is paid out upon the first person's death. It can be a good way to, you know, provide financial security for the surviving spouse.
So it's like a safety net for couples, making sure that one spouse isn't left struggling financially if the other one passes away. What other specialized policies are there?
Another common one is survivorship life insurance, which is also sometimes called a second to die policy. And as you might guess, this one pays out the death benefit only after the second insured person passes away.
Okay, so it's specifically designed for situations where you want that payout to happen later, after both people are gone. Why would someone choose this type of policy?
Well, it's often used in estate planning. You can use it to cover things like estate taxes or to provide for beneficiaries after both parents have passed away.
Oh, that's really interesting. I can see how that would be valuable. It's amazing how life insurance can be used in so many different ways. Are there any other specialized policies that we should mention?
One more that comes to mind, especially if you have kids, is juvenile life insurance. This is a policy that's taken out on the life of a child.
Oh, life insurance for a child. I've got to admit, that's not something I've ever really thought about. What are the advantages of doing that?
Well, besides the obvious benefit of having coverage in case something happens to your child, juvenile life insurance also locks in those really low premiums for their entire life.
Yeah.
It's essentially a way to, you know, secure their insurability early on, even if their health changes later in life.
That's a great point. It's like giving them a head start on their financial protection. It's really incredible how life insurance can play a role in so many different stages of life and financial planning. Do you think we've covered all the major types of policies?
I think we've hit all the key ones, but it's important to remember that this is just, you know, a starting point. Life insurance is a very personal decision.
Well, it's not a one-size-fits-all product.
Exactly. The best policy for you really depends on your individual circumstances, needs, and goals.
So what would you say is the next step for someone listening to this, you know, someone who is now armed with all this new knowledge about life insurance? What should they do next? It sounds like the first step is really taking some time to, you know, think about what's important to you, what you want to protect, what are your goals?
Absolutely. It's all about figuring out, you know, what are your values, your financial goals? What kind of future are you hoping to build for yourself and your loved ones? Are you mainly focused on protecting your family financially if something were to happen to you? Or are you more interested in building cash value and creating like a financial legacy?
Yeah, those are some pretty good questions. And it can be a little overwhelming to like sort through all of that on your own.
It can be. And that's where, you know, working with a qualified financial advisor can be a huge help. They can help you assess your needs, walk you through the different policy options. They can really help you find the coverage that's the best fit for your unique situation. It's like having a guide through that maze of life insurance, you know?
Right. Someone to help you make sense of it all. And I imagine a good advisor can also, you know, help you with some of the more complicated aspects of life insurance, like understanding all the different riders and, you know, the tax implications and all those little details that can be a bit confusing.
Oh, for sure. They can definitely break all that down for you and make sure that you really understand, you know, what you're getting into. It's important to feel confident in those decisions.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today. We've explored term life, whole life, universal life, even those variable policies with the investment component. And we even touched on some of the more specialized options out there.
It's been a pretty comprehensive deep dive.
It has. And I hope our listeners are feeling, you know, more informed and more empowered to make those decisions about their own life insurance needs.
Me too. Because at the end of the day, it's about having that peace of mind, right? Knowing that you've taken those steps to protect the people you care about and your financial future. Don't be afraid to ask those questions, talk to a professional you trust, and make the choices that align with your values.
I think that's a perfect note to end on. Thank you so much for joining us today for this deep dive into the world of life insurance. We hope you found it valuable.
Absolutely. And to everyone listening, until next time.